Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Genesis 25. Genesis 25 will continue on in our Bible survey. We will look at tonight two nations, or two sons and two nations. Of course, talking about sons of Isaac. We've been looking primarily recently at Abraham. And as we pointed out several times, what we have in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis is a human history recorded for us by Moses under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, recording for us the first up to Noah 1600 years already by chapter 6. And so we have human history recorded for us up to chapter 11. And then in chapter 12, we start looking at a fella, average fella down in the Ur of the Chaldees, a place called Ur of the Chaldees. His name then was Abram. And God tapped Abram on the shoulder and said, "Come over here." And through a period of learning events, Abram grew in the grace of God. Abram had his name changed by God to Abraham. And we began then to study Hebrew family history, the history of the Jewish people. Well, Abraham waited and waited for that son. Isaac was born when Abraham was about 100 years old. Isaac was born, but God promised Abraham a lineage on down through time. God said, "I'm going to make of you a great nation." So it's going to have to be more than just Isaac. Well, Genesis chapter 25 has the lineage of Abraham. And then included in that, of course, is Isaac. And then we'll be introduced to Isaac's two sons, Jacob and Esau. Twin sons that Rebekah had. And we'll see in this survey lesson tonight that even in the womb, those two sons were fighting, warring. And since then, they've never really quit. There's been that battle between those spiritual descendants of Jacob versus the spiritual descendants of Esau. In Genesis chapter 25, we come to the place when this starts that you remember that Sarah had died. And Genesis 25 opens with the fact that Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah. And gives the sons, there are six sons born to Abraham by Keturah. And he's probably something close to 140 years old now. Remember that the time, the ability to father children, he had outgrown, and then God returned that to him at about 100 years old to have Isaac. And apparently it wasn't just for that one child, but he's now had at least six more by Keturah. And we're introduced to them. I want you to notice in verse 5. "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country." It's important to note here that Isaac was going to be in the lineage that God was going to use. Then now that lineage, we've stressed and stressed over and over that lineage is that line of persons headed for Christ. And Isaac was in that line, and Abraham knew that. Abraham treated Isaac differently. To the other sons of the other, now in verse 1 called a wife, in verse 6 called concubines. The other wives, the other concubines. But the children to those others, he gave gifts. What does it say here? In verse 6, he gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son. Remember, when the Lord told Abraham to offer Isaac, he said, take your only son. That's the one I'm dealing with. Now, he had other sons, but none that God was dealing with in that certain way. And to those other sons, he gave gifts and sent them away. But to Isaac, he received the inheritance. To Isaac, he received the traditional blessing. Well, verses 7 and 8. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which lived 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave in Milpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah, his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well of Lehairoi. Now, verse 11 seems to indicate that God, in a very specific and personal way, reaffirmed to Isaac what he was doing. Many times God came back to Abraham and reaffirmed, this is what I'm doing. And almost every time there through between Genesis 12 and Genesis 18, every time that God would return and speak with Abraham, he would add a detail or fill in more information. And he would reaffirm that blessing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And he would sometimes fill in the spaces of information so that Abraham would see it. And now it seems to me that that is what took place in Genesis 25:11, that God came to Isaac. Then and God blessed him, and God spoke to him, perhaps, and said, this is what I'm doing. Just like he did to his dad, Abraham. Seems to be the indication of what is going on there. And just reaffirming to Isaac, I'm going to use you in that special way. So Isaac is in the same condition as his father, going to have some children. If the lineage is going to go through me on up to Christ, and if the Hebrew family is going to be built around my lineage, going to have some children. Well, he married Rebekah, and we'll pick up the reading here in Genesis 25, in verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah conceived. We have, and we'll read this as we get in here a little bit later, that In verse 26, Jacob was 80 years old when she bare the sons. We have a 20-year gap. They'd been married 20 years. They got married when Isaac was 40 years old. Verse 26 reveals to us that he's 60 years old. He got married to Rebekah when he was 40. I don't know what I said, but it didn't sound right when I replayed it in my head. He married Rebekah when he was 40. He had Jacob and Esau when he was 60, so there'd been 20 years of barrenness there. There'd been 20 years where he had possibly entreated the Lord, that he'd prayed about this. And in verse 21, the Bible says, the Lord was entreated of him. The Lord heard, the Lord listened, the Lord blessed with children. And she conceived. Verse 22, and the children struggled within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. If this is right, if everything's as it's supposed to be, why do I feel like this? What's going on? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations. Read Genesis 25 and verse 23 with me. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. We have in her womb, of course, two sons, representative of two nations. Jacob would be representative of the spiritual Israel. Remember the phrase that Paul used, they're not all of Abraham that are of Abraham. And what we learned with that when we were studying it, that there is that physical seed from Abraham, but Paul was referring and bringing people back to that spiritual seed. That people of a spiritual lineage. And that would hold true through Isaac. And that will hold true through Jacob, who will later be called Israel. Jacob was in that line. Remember, he said here that the elder shall serve the younger. Typically, of course, you know this, that the blessing in this Eastern culture would fall upon the eldest son. That would be the normal. And God said, I'm going to shake up the normal a little bit. I want the blessing to fall on the younger son. He's only younger by a few minutes, but he's the younger one. And we'll study this down the road, Lord willing, but there's some shenanigans that go on about how that Jacob even obtained the blessing from his dad. But in her womb, two babies. One would represent a spiritual seed line, as well as a seed line to Christ, of course. Esau would represent that non-believing seed line. Those that the Bible describes here as the two manner of people, two nations. And these two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. There's this rivalry, there's this warring entity between them, and that's not going to stop. And that battle rages on. Now, in this, we see so clearly the finger of God working out His plan and His purpose exactly as He intended. before the foundation of the world. We'll read in the next lesson or two where all sorts of stuff went on about getting the blessing, and we'll read right here in chapter 25 about Jacob getting Esau's birthright, and none of this was going to thwart God's plan. None of this was going to overthrow what God was doing. Remember Genesis 50. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. So even in those things where they were doing what we would stand back and look at and say, that was wrong, that was inappropriate, that was not right. And even in all of that, they'll be held accountable, but God's plan is working out exactly as He had chosen to do so. These two children struggled within her. God explained to her that there's two nations within her, that the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered, verse 24, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first, the elder, came out red all over, like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. To get an understanding of Jacob, looked up that word plain. The word plain is actually only translated plain one time. This particular word is only translated plain one time, and it's right there. It's usually translated perfect, mature. It's 9 times translated perfect. It's 2 times translated undefiled. It's 1 time translated upright. When the Bible records that Jacob was a plain man, the definition of that word is complete, morally innocent, pious. That Jacob was a plain man didn't mean that he didn't have a flair for color or something. It meant that he was morally upright. Now, this, of course, we understand is God's doing. All of this scene is the finger of God working. Rebecca couldn't have children. Well, I mean, before that, her mother-in-law couldn't have children. And God miraculously worked and gives children at Abraham's 100th year birthday. And then Isaac and Rebecca are married for 20 years. Can't have children. And then God works and she conceives. The finger of God working all things to His plan. He knows which one is going to be born first. He knows then, of course, which one's going to be born second. And He says, contrary to norm, okay, the elder is going to serve the younger. This is the way I want it to be. Why? Because the younger was going to be used in that special way of that lineage to Christ. Why? Because God chose to do so. So, we have then that verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised, or thought little of, had little regard for, his birthright. Interesting little commentary tucked into Hebrews chapter 12 about this. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 16. This is why it's so good to step back and try to take the Bible in as an entire entity, rather than looking so closely that we miss some of the little nuggets that are out on the fringes, so to speak. Hebrews chapter 12, and again, verse 14 through 16. Well, just read verse 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." And we could go back to Genesis and read where Esau pleaded with his father. But notice this. He's called a profane person. Remember, the priest was instructed to teach the people the difference between holy and profane, holy and common. He was a common person. He was here stated as profane, and for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. "For you know that afterward he would have inherited a blessing. He was rejected." Of course, apparently Isaac saw the hand of God working. And though it broke his heart to do it, would not retract the blessing that he'd given. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But it would seem apparent to me that all the players of this deal knew what God was doing. That they knew and had even accepted what God was doing, though it wasn't always what they'd hoped for, they realized this is what God's doing. What was God doing? Romans 9. Romans 9. This is an illustration that Paul uses in Romans 9, to teach the sovereignty of the potter as he works on the clay. As he molds and he shapes and he brings that clay to the desired design. As he sovereignly orchestrates every detail as to even to orchestrate right down to the point of which child would be born first, that then he could turn the norm around and say, "The elder shall serve the younger." And what you need to see in this, and what we need to remember in this, is that God is working out this plan. And Paul uses this illustration then to teach us another point in Romans chapter 9, Verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we know the lineage went through Isaac. Not all the children of Abraham, but just Isaac. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, not even out of mother's womb yet, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. We read that tonight. So you get what is taking place and what Paul is using this illustration to teach: God's sovereign choice, God's sovereign selection. And he's using this to teach that it's not according to our works. These two children hadn't even been born yet. They're still in the mother's womb. And he says, one shall serve the other one. And that's backwards from the culture of the day. And not only that, the next verse tells us, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Children having not yet been born, having not done either good nor evil. But the point is that God said, I set my love upon that one for purposes known in its entirety only to God. Look at Acts 17, and we'll close. This is a truth that divides people today. This is a truth that people, many, many people, not only reject, but absolutely hate. But as Paul was preaching here in Acts 17 on Mars Hill, he says something in verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men. Okay? Every person that has ever drawn breath stands accountable to God. Stands on equal footing. By faith are you saved. No other way. And hath made of one blood all nations of men. Doesn't matter what kindred, tribe, or tongue you are, they are the same. You stand accountable to God. And hath determined the times before appointed. He's determined when one will be born and when one will die. And the bounds, and hath determined the bounds of their habitation. He said, you're going to live there, and 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 you're going to live from here to here. That is the God of this book. And he is orchestrating all things according to his plan. And he tells Isaac, going to have a couple of sons. Going to have twins. Going to be born. The elder's going to serve the younger. I'm going to use the younger one in a mighty way. The lineage is going to pass through him. God's will is always accomplished. Even when man tries to to monkey up the works, even when man tries to thwart what God is doing, God's will is always accomplished. That famous saying of Joseph, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So Joseph didn't get too worried about it. I pray that we see through the eye of faith and through God teaching us who He is, how He operates through this. I pray that we see that through this book, that we can step back and put the pieces together and begin to see how He's working towards one thing, and that's getting to Christ. Think about what has been accomplished. Think about what has been ordained of God and brought to pass by God to save your soul. Think about what's been brought to pass by God that we can gather at that river one day. Think about the details that have had to fit, that God sovereignly made come together all at the right time. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the few little nuggets that our little brains can figure out. Two sons, two nations, one plan. God working sovereignly through it all. Well,